Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He cares for you. The Apostle Peter wrote these words as a part of a letter that he sent out to five different regions in what is now known as Turkey. And he did this in the early 60s, right about 30 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And the emperor on the throne in the Roman Empire at that time was a man by the name of Nero. And Nero was known for sanctioning persecution against the Christian church. And the first of those sanctioned persecutions happened in 64 AD. And it wasn't going to be until 311 AD that Christianity was legalized. And so under Nero, most Christians lacked citizenship. And because they lacked citizenship, they also lacked any rights that go with that status. And so with no rights of citizenship, Christians could be arrested, imprisoned, abused, enslaved, and even killed without any question at all. So as you can see, the words, "He cares for you," were not written during a time period of Christian prosperity and success. The words, "He cares for you," were written by the Apostle Peter during a time period of Christian persecution and suffering. He cares for you. Have the words of Scripture ever been a challenge for you to believe that they're true? We may not be surrounded by persecution and suffering for our faith like those people that Peter was writing to, but we probably all know what it's like to doubt or question God's care for us. Does God really care how much pain I'm in? Does He care that my family is so broken? Does He care about the fact that my marriage is falling to pieces? Does He care that I have this diagnosis? Does He care that I can't get over this addiction? Does He care that I feel like I don't matter, that I don't belong? Does He care? There just seems to be so many times in life where it's so hard to believe that God cares for us. And no doubt the people in Peter's day struggled with it too as they endured the reality of persecution and suffering. And it's why a letter like Peter wrote is so helpful. It's so relevant both back then and today. Like those Christians in those five regions that received this letter, we too need encouragement. We need a reminder as we live in this world of what is true. And what is true, no matter persecutions, no matter sufferings, no matter struggles, no matter anything that is going on in this life, no matter what is most certainly true is that your God cares for you. But we want proof, don't we? We want evidence that He cares. There was a post online about trench warfare during World War I. Here's what it said. Horror gripped the heart of the soldier as he saw his lifelong friend fall in battle in the trench right in front of him. He's caught in the trench with continuous gunfire whizzing over his head. The soldier asked his lieutenant, could he go into the no man's land in between the trenches to bring his fallen comrade back? "You can go," said the lieutenant, "but I don't think it'll be worth it. Your friend is probably dead and you'll likely throw your own life away." The lieutenant's advice didn't matter, and the soldier went anyway. Miraculously, he managed to reach his friend, hoist him onto his shoulder, and bring him back to the company's trench. And as the two of them tumbled together into the bottom of the trench, the officer checked the wounded soldier and then kindly looked at his friend, and he said, I told you it wouldn't be worth it." The lieutenant said, "Your friend is dead, and now you too are mortally wounded." It was worth it, the soldier said. What do you mean? The lieutenant asked. Your friend is dead. He said, yes, sir. It was worth it because when I got to him, he was still alive, and I heard him say, I knew you'd come. I knew you'd come. I share this story to help both you and I, to help us see what it's like to have Christ care. You see, Christ cares for you and me by joining us in the trenches of our lives. No matter how rough of shape you may be in, no matter how wounded you may be, no matter how broken you may be in this life, no matter how much pain, no matter if your life is falling to pieces, He will not abandon you. He remains in the war zone to look after you until the fight is over and the battle is won. You can trust in Him. He cares for you. And so with eyes of faith fixed on Him, see. See that He has journeyed from His throne in heaven to be present with you. Even though it meant journeying into the place of death, He didn't stop. Even though it meant that He was going to be mortally wounded. He has joined you in the trenches of your life to take you through the valley of the shadow of death. You can trust Him. He is faithful. He fulfills His promises to the cross and all the way through the empty tomb. So don't fear to cast your anxieties on Him. No doubt the Christians Peter wrote to had a lot of anxieties. Just imagine, they're fearing for their lives as they're living out their faith, just to be able to worship, just to be able to talk about their faith, just to be able to pray openly to their beloved God. Just imagine, as it looked like Satan was winning all around them, how much comfort there was for them to know that they could cast all of their anxieties upon God, and He would listen, He would answer, and He would care. No matter the burden, no matter the emotion. Remember, the shoulders that carried the sins of the world are big enough to carry whatever burden they had and whatever burden you've got as well. So let Him have it. It is His delight to carry the load with you and for you. It is His delight to care for you no matter what your need may be. You are His beloved child. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, humble yourselves. Part of humbling yourself is letting God take care of you. It's acknowledging the hard reality. You can't do it all. You don't know it all. And you need help. The author of our text had learned this firsthand. Remember, it was Peter. Peter's the one who wrote this letter, and Peter's the one who had denied knowing Jesus. Before the rooster crowed twice on the night that Jesus was on trial, Peter denied knowing Jesus three times as they gathered around that charcoal fire. And then filled with guilt and shame, he had only to run away, weeping bitterly. But then, as it went, a matter of days later, by a charcoal fire once again, Peter was welcomed by the resurrected Jesus to a breakfast on the beach. And as that same smell of charcoal filled his nostrils, Jesus restored his beloved child, not just once, not just twice, but three times. Peter was fully restored and fully forgiven. But he needed help to get there. He needed to be humbled before his God. And as painful as it no doubt was for him, what he learned along the way was just how much his God cared for him. And that was true for Peter all the way until the end. Tradition has it that Peter was in prison by that same emperor, Nero. Tradition has it that he was eventually executed by Nero. However, what tradition tells us is that because Peter felt unworthy to be crucified like Christ, he requested of Nero to be crucified upside down. And his request was granted. We don't know the persecution or the suffering that we may face in our life for our faith. And in fact, it's probably most likely that we won't face the level of persecution that Peter faced. But what does all of this teach us? It teaches us that God calls his people who live in a world of suffering and pain. It calls us to be bold in our faith, not to live in fear. We are to be active witnesses for Christ, trusting that he does, in fact, care for us. He did back then, and so he does today. The same care those saints of the Lord received back then is the same care that you and I receive. The same evidence of the care that they got, we also get. His powerful word, his holy absolution, his blessed sacrament, it's all here for you, just as it was for them. And it's just as effective now as it was back then. You'll notice on the last page of the announcements that we've made a change. And in there we have a prayer request for the spiritual needs of our parish. It's so that we can be in prayer for those who have wandered from the faith, for those who are lost in the faith. But it's also a prayer that we would be bold, that we would move out of our comfort zone and into the trenches of our community to share Christ in his love, trusting that he has called us to be his instruments, because we know, just as he has told us, that he desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This truth isn't just for us people, it's for all people. And people of God, we've got the truth. And his name is Jesus. And so allow me to close with these words today. The God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Notice the text doesn't say that God might do it. It says that he will do it. He will do that for you because he cares for you. In the name of Jesus, to him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen.